When Tracy Hinner invited a workshop of farmers to her lime orchard, she knew she wouldn't be showing them neatly tended rows of fruit trees. She's given up the battles against weeds and grass in some areas to concentrate on her more profitable Noosa Black coffee crop.
I don't have the time between the coffee and everything else, selling, marketing, everything. This side, I haven't sprayed for over 2 years. I haven't fertilised the citrus for about 5 years at all. I just don't have time, and I don't have enough markets for the limes.
Ecologist Dr. Wendy Seabrook told the group that every farmer faces similar land management challenges to Tracy Hinner.
And if you're not earning a lot of money for a product, you can't afford to put in that extra labour, and certainly if you're going to have to employ people to do it, because it just doesn't make economic sense.
Wendy Seabrook runs Learning from Nature workshops, focused on improving horticulture profitability while reducing fertiliser, chemical and labour costs by harnessing the power of ecosystems. Healthy land and water brought her from her permaculture-inspired hilltop farm at Cooktown down to Kinkin with funding from National Landcare. The ecologist told local producers that some weeds can actually play a positive role on farms.
Weeds are initial soil improvers. I suppose what I'm concerned about here is the grass. And obviously there's a lot of stuff growing over the trees, but all of these so-called weeds, they're not actually affecting your fruit trees. And in fact, they're attracting beneficial insects, their roots are going down, they're your living mulch without you doing anything. After people go through and spray the side of the road, what comes up is those plants that we often call weeds, and if you look at them, a lot of them are legumes. They start accumulating biomass, they start changing the microclimate, shading the soil. We know that underground what's happening is the soil invertebrate population is increasing. Obviously we have to watch, not use the ones that are invasive. So part of it is actually thinking, is that plant a weed or is it actually helping us?
Wendy Seabrook says there's visual evidence that chemicals have had a negative impact in Tracy Hinner's orchard.
It's quite difficult for me to dig in the soil. So we're looking at compacted soil. We're looking at very little organic matter feeding our soil organisms.
So we're going over now to the area that hasn't been sprayed.
Look at how much more organic matter there is on the top of the soil and how it's starting to break down. And I don't know if you can all see, they've sort of crawled underneath there, but we saw an earthworm. There's a whole lot of critters in here too. So what's happening here is initially you'd think, oh my God, look at this. This is getting worse. But in fact, while Tracy's been struggling with trying to develop markets for this place, the soil is actually improving. And the interesting thing is we plant orchards in grasslands, but most fruit trees originate in forest woodlands environments. One of the things that Tracy has is she's got finger limes, and we'll wander over there now, because what she's discovering is during the really hot weather is that actual plants are getting knocked back by the sunlight, and naturally they're an understory, a semi-shade tree. So the challenge we have here is that we need to start looking at how we can add extra layers into our production, taking out competing grasses and planting mixed ground cover crops, perennial self-seeding plants that are beneficial insect attracting, mixture of legumes, and then while they're orchards growing, they're interplanting with some shorter lived plants, pawpaws, bananas, that will give them an income while their fruit trees are growing. And certainly I'm doing that just outside Cooktown in the tropics, and we're also looking at planting an open canopied legume overstory, because in most tropical and subtropical environments, light is not a shortage. Most of our plants stop photosynthesizing because they need to close the holes, the stomata, under their leaves once they're not getting enough water by 10 o'clock in the day until about 4 o'clock. So carefully managing shade, we can increase production, diversify enterprises, create more biomass to feed our soil organisms, improve our soils, and really bring the joy of having more beneficial insects and more birds back into our agricultural landscapes again.
Wendy Seabrook used Americans Gabe Brown and David Brandt and New South Wales Central West farmer Colin Sice as examples of successful regenerative broad-scale agriculture. Dave Cohen, an organic bean farmer from Goomboorian near Gympie, is keen to try Wendy Seabrook's suggestions.
Like all organic farmers, we get a bit of a fetish about our soil carbon and trying to keep the organic matter up, and it doesn't matter what we do, we don't seem to ever get it high enough. So there's been a lot of techniques discussed about living mulch and different ways of achieving that, and various efficiencies that we might be able to make that are quite useful. we have to find the right ground covers that won't interfere with our crops and our picking procedures that we can plant into that won't grow too high and that will keep doing that nutrient transfer without exposing the bare ground.